And so it came to pass that a man came to the town of Blackshear to claim the hand of a beautiful princess. Her father, the king, had demanded that she marry, but she was permitted to demand that any suitor pass a series of tests that she would devise. Those who failed, and there had been many, were banished from the town, not to be heard of again. Suitors, both common and high-born, had come from all over the land. No princess was more beautiful or more cunning. She had devised what became known as the Princess Trials. No one spoke of them, and no one knew what they entailed. Those who failed were forbidden to speak of them under pain of death. It had been some time since any had attempted the tests. Word of failure spread throughout the kingdoms, and even those considered to be the bravest souls had taken pause. So when the man arrived and offered himself for testing, the princess was delighted. She had missed the tests and was ready to discard another suitor. As he kneeled before her, bowing his head, he spoke the words that bound them together. "I submit to your will, princess." For the next 3 days he would be tested. She smiled softly as he raised his head. He was attractive, a bit older and rugged in appearance. He possessed quiet strength and confidence. Others had as well, she thought, but they all broke too, some quicker than others. As was the custom, he appeared at the door to her room at sunrise, waiting patiently. When the door opened, she was standing before him, dressed not in a beautiful gown, but in her corset and skirt. She looked beautiful, and he lowered himself to one knee. She told him to enter and undress. He obeyed, entering the room and disrobing, folding his clothes neatly. He stood motionless as she circled him, enjoying the moment. His body was strong, muscular, defined. A labourer of some sort, she imagined. She stepped in front of him, almost uncomfortably close, and slid her hand down his belly, taking hold of his cock, which began to stiffen in her grasp. She held it softly, as if she was weighing it. It was nice, filling her hand. Not too large, but not too small either. "This belongs to me now," she whispered in his ear. "Yes, Your Highness," he said softly, feeling himself grow harder in her hand now. She giggled. "Oh, you like that, do you? That shows some promise." She guided him to a chair in the centre of the room and had him sit. The back of the chair was designed to allow his arms to slip over it and rest in the back. She moved his arms into place, and he let out a soft moan. Her hands slowly buckled straps around his arms and wrists, securing them tightly to the chair, forcing him to arch his back slightly. The princess smiled, walking around in front of him, using her long fingernails to trace over his chest, his collarbone, across his throat. She watched carefully as he responded to her touch, offering himself to her more and more. She smiled, kneeling down and now buckling straps to his legs, binding them tightly to the chair. She watched as he instinctively tugged against the straps. There was straining but no movement. He was trapped, helpless, immobilized. His cock was hard now, fully erect and sticking almost straight up. She stepped closer, not touching him, but placing her fingertip on the chair just in front of his cock. All you need to do today is not come. Easy, right? He squirmed and tugged a bit, taking a deep breath. Yes, Your Highness, he said with a tone of reverence, even obedience. But you see this little hole here? I wouldn't be surprised if you missed it. The princess held up a long, white, flowing feather, sliding the end of it into the small hole. The tips of the feather brushed against the underside of his cock, causing a wave of pleasure to wash over him. He stiffened and felt his helplessness grow. It was barely touching him, causing a tingling that it was almost unbearable. And now, the princess explained, I will watch you until sundown. You may end this at any time, but the price of failure is banishment. She smiled a bit devilishly. The price of success is day two. She watched for a few moments, enjoying his efforts to squirm. The feather teased him gently, almost predictably. She let him feel it for another hour or so, before speaking again. You are doing well. Better than most. I know it's frustrating, but your frustration pleases me. You want to please me, don't you? He nodded, grimacing, trying to avoid the orgasm he felt building inside him. It had become constant, so close to the edge. If he didn't put every ounce of concentration into it, he would be lost. I love watching you struggle, she teased. But working so hard, you must be getting warm. Perhaps... The princess stepped to the side of the room and pressed her hand against the side of a beautiful, small, stained glass window. She giggled as she pressed against it, opening it slightly. A nice breeze might help. She laughed again, watching the gentle breeze hit the feather, now making it dance across his cock. He stiffened and screamed. He was starting to beg now. Please, princess, please. I can't. Tears were welling in his eyes now. If I close the window, you fail, she said calmly. Would you like me to close the window? He shook his head violently. No, she teased, watching him suffer for her. Her laugh was bringing him even closer to the edge. He called out for her to help him. He begged for mercy. He promised her anything. But each time, when she asked if he wanted it to stop, he declined. It's just a few more hours, she would remind him, with just a hint of encouragement. As the sun set, she stood up, shut the window, and removed the feather. She looked him over, his body trembling, covered in sweat, his cock covered in his own juices which had been leaking almost continually. His arms and legs were raw from where the bindings had held him tight. You have done well, she told him, as she held something between his legs. It was cold, soothing at first, but slowly became uncomfortable. She comforted him. This will help with the swelling and the aching. The cold compress allowed his erection to subside for the first time in hours. Once it did, The princess slid a steel ring over his cock and behind his balls, immediately slipping a cage on over his cock, trapping it inside. "You will wear this for me until I decide to unlock it," she whispered in his ear. "And you should know, the men who have made it this far and have been sent away, well, they're still wearing theirs." He closed his eyes and nodded. She released his bonds and he collapsed on the floor. She directed him to what looked like a large box covered in purple cloth. He crawled to her as she pulled the fabric away, revealing a steel cage. She opened the door and directed him inside. He crawled into the cage and curled up on the hard surface. No pillow or blanket, just a bowl of water, a loaf of bread, some butter and jam. He was too tired to eat. He closed his eyes and fell asleep immediately. He woke with a painful sensation between his legs. His cock, trapped in its steel cage, was trying to get erect. He pulled on the cage, trying to adjust it, but nothing helped. He focused his mind, now trying to make his erection stop. Once it did, he tore off a huge hunk of bread and smeared it with butter, and then another, and then another. He drank from the bowl and squirmed in the cage. It was large enough to fit in, but not to stretch all the way out. He had failed to notice that across the room sat the princess, quietly enjoying her own breakfast, this time dressed a bit more formally. She looked up from her meal and asked him if he needed a bucket. He tilted his head and asked what she meant. "To relieve yourself, of course," she said, laughing a bit. He turned red with shame. "Thank you, princess," he said softly. "But I'm fine for the moment."
"Well, eventually you'll need one," she said playfully, enjoying his humiliation at the thought of being so degraded.
He looked around the room and saw that the chair was gone. In the centre of the room was a box. From what he could see, it was made of hardwood and padded on the top. On the floor in front of it was a long length of leather, what looked like a sack. Once she finished her breakfast, the princess unlocked the cage and opened the door.
"There's a wash basin over there," she said, pointing across the room. "Please clean yourself up."
He stood up and began to walk to the basin.
"Crawl," the princess said, her tone a bit harsher now. "From here on out, you crawl."
He lowered himself to the floor and crawled as she instructed. She smiled, impressed with how pliant he was. The princess clapped twice and the doors to the room opened. Two young women, dressed as maids, entered. One was holding a piece of black fabric. They approached the man and, taking him by the hair, dragged him over to the box and sack, not saying a word. One of the maids wrapped the fabric over his eyes, blindfolding him before putting him in place. His head inside the box, which had a hole cut in the top, exposing his face. The sides of the leather sack were pulled up, and his arms were slipped into two sleeves inside the sack. The maids slowly and securely laced the sack shut, trapping him inside, allowing him only to squirm. Heavy leather straps followed, taking away most of his movement. There was pressure on the back of his head, a soft pillow pressing against him, gently at first, and then more firmly, forcing his face up and into the hole in the top of the box. Bound and boxed,
He could feel his cock trying to stiffen in its cage. Today, you have one job. You will make anyone who sits down on the box orgasm. You will focus exclusively on their pleasure. She stepped closer, putting her foot on his chest. If they get bored, fail to orgasm, or stand up before you please them, you will fail. The maids laughed a bit under their breath. Do you understand? She asked. Yes, Your Highness, he told her. He had no idea how much time had passed before he heard footsteps and the ruffle of petticoats, 2 feet next to his head. He opened his mouth and pressed his tongue out as he felt a pussy being lowered onto his face. Pressing. Smothering. He was wet and he immediately began lapping at her pussy lips. It was harder than he imagined. Unlike burying his face in a woman's pussy, he was now trapped beneath her. Her pussy smashed against his face, trapping him, making it hard to breathe. When she would shift just a bit, it could cut off his air completely. He licked and sucked on her lips, letting the tip of his tongue find her clit. As he did, he heard moans, and a flood of wetness coated his face. He had to choose. Breathe. Or keep licking. He chose the latter, moaning and licking her like he was fighting for his life. He sucked her lips into his mouth and let his tongue press into her clit. As he did, she screamed, pressing herself harder into him, smashing her wet cunt into his face as he struggled and squirmed, now desperate for air. When she raised herself up off of him, he heaved and sputtered, feeling his face coated in wetness, the scent and taste of her pussy filling every sense. Each time, it was different. But each time he discovered exactly what he needed to do to make each woman come. Some came back twice or three times. He could tell by their scent. After 7 or 8, he lost count. But there were more. Many more. But one he knew was special. One was his princess. He knew, even though he didn't know how he knew. There was something in how she moved, how she smelled, how she came. He couldn't see her, but he knew it was her. There was something almost cruel in how she pressed against him, wanting him to fail, wanting to suffocate him under her wet cunt, wanting him to break, to give up. And when he didn't, that is what made her come. She had cut off his air for just a bit too long, and when he was losing consciousness, his last thought was not for himself or for his air. It was for her. Her pleasure. Her arousal. When the princess realized he would give his life just to make her come, her whole body shook and her orgasm consumed her. When she raised herself up, he was unconscious, just for a second. When he came to, he was pressing his lips and tongue out, hungry to please, desperate for her. She smiled to herself. Maybe, she thought. Maybe. When the blindfold was removed, the princess was nowhere to be found. The two maids carefully removed the bonds and guided him back to his cage. This time there was more to eat. Mutton, grapes, a plate of vegetables. He ate them all and once again fell to sleep, his face coated in the wetness of all the women he had served. Sunrise came early on his third day. His cock, straining in its cage,
felt like a punishment for his morning erections. When the princess arrived, she was dressed more casually. He spoke up from his cage. "The bucket, princess?" he asked. Princess smiled and pointed to the corner, unlocking his cage and watching him crawl to the bucket, laughing as he tried to maintain any sense of dignity. Her steely gaze made that impossible. After using the bucket, the princess wrapped a collar around his neck and attached a leash. He crawled behind her on the stone floor as she led him down the hallway to a large door. She pressed it open and revealed a large tub fed by one of the kingdom's hot springs. "Clean yourself," she instructed, removing the collar and leaving him to wash. He slipped into the bath, feeling the hot water caress his body. He washed his hair and his body thoroughly, and then just sat in the steaming water, letting it rejuvenate him. After a time, the door opened and a maid stepped inside. "When you are ready, you will report to the princess in her quarters." Before he could ask her where that was, she closed the door. He stood up and found a towel. Soft. Luxurious. It felt better than anything he had touched in 2 days. He found a brush and a mirror and tried his best to make himself presentable. Lowering himself to the floor, he started to crawl out the door and down the hall, trying to figure out where to go. As he turned the corner, he saw a maid who smiled and shook her head, tilting her head, looking back in the direction he came from. He smiled and turned around, crawling back the other way. At the end of the hall was a door, more ornate than the rest, cracked, but not open. As he crawled to it, he felt his cock twitching in its cage, feeling a deep need for his princess. When he arrived at the door, he knocked. "Enter," the princess responded. As he crawled to her, he could tell there was something beneath her skirt. She obliged his curiosity, seeing his gaze focused between her legs. She parted her skirt, revealing a long, thick, shiny, strap-on cock. His eyes widened and his words stuck in his throat. "I hope you got nice and clean for me," she said, grinning at him. "This is your third trial," she explained. "This cock has a special feature. It presses into me when I use it, but only when whoever I'm using it on presses back. If I just fuck you, and I am going to fuck you, it does nothing for me." She pressed her hand to the head of it, firmly putting pressure on it. She closed her eyes and moaned, the dildo teasing her clit. "So now, all you have to do is make me come," she said, smiling. "Twice." She stepped close to him, pressing her fingers to his lips. "Once with your mouth," she smiled. "And once with your ass." The princess grabbed the back of his head and jammed the cock into his throat, pressing the tip against the back of his throat, holding it there. He closed his eyes and pressed his face forwards, eliciting a soft moan from the princess. He started to gag and choke as the cock pressed deeper into his throat. He tried desperately to pull away, but the princess's hand held him in place. She pulled the cock back slightly, and he pressed forward, feeling it bang into his throat again. Slowly he pressed harder, listening as she started to gasp and moan. His choking and gagging started to move in time with her moans.
He clasped his hands behind his back, letting her hand guide him as she fucked his face. Each time he pushed back, it slipped deeper into his mouth and brought her closer and closer to orgasm. Drool started to run from his mouth as his eyes filled with tears. Harder and harder, faster and faster, the princess fucked his face until she erupted in orgasm after orgasm. Twice, three times, four times. He was crying now, still trying to press into her, still wanting to make his princess come. Still holding his hair, she twisted him around, pulling the cock from his mouth, still slick with his saliva, and pressed the head of it against his ass. As she slid the cock inside him, he screamed. Tears now flowed freely as she rammed her cock into him, harder and harder. He squirmed and raised his hips, pressing back, forcing the cock even deeper into his ass. It didn't take long for the princess to come again. But this time, it was different. She was looking down at him. But now it was no longer the same. She was somehow different, and so was he. She kept the cock deep inside his ass and wrapped her arm around his pelvis, pulling him harder into her, embedding her cock inside his ass as far as it would go. She held him there, savoring the moment. He was no longer a maybe. He was hers. And when she finally slid the cock from his ass, she pressed him to the floor. He looked up at her. "When I took your pleasure and locked your cock, you showed me you could treasure me above and beyond your selfish pleasure. When I had you please others, you showed me that you would sacrifice all that you are just to have me, even your own life. And now, when I told you that your suffering was necessary for my pleasure, you offered it. You fought for it. You showed me that you are willing to do whatever it takes to make you mine." She smiled at him. "And now you are." The next day, the town of Blackshear celebrated. The princess was finally wed to the man who had completed the princess trials. No one would ever know that each and every single day he would repeat the trials for her. Teased in the morning, the only time his cock was ever to be free of its cage. Smothered in the afternoon for the princess and her maids. And each and every night, he would worship his princess's cock with his mouth and ass until she came. And, as all good fairy tales end, they both lived happily ever after.